Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty. We're going to be spending a little bit of time talking about farmer rebate programs and finance offers for this season as we get really close here, at least in the northern part of the country where guys are starting to pick up product and actually starting to apply some product out there now because it's so warm and dry this spring. I just want to talk through some of those programs one more time. We're going to spend quite a bit of time in the Ag PhD mailbag. We've just been overwhelmed with questions lately, which is great. Keep sending them in. We'll get through them here. We probably need a few days to get caught up, but we'll get caught up on these questions. So if you sent one in that we haven't gotten an answer to yet, I apologize for that. We'll try and get that done as quick as we can, but you could send us a question again and put it to the top of the pile right now, but gonna dig back through and see if we missed anybody over the next few days here. And then really, honestly, we're ready to get going on farming. We've got a little bit of fertilizer that we didn't get done last fall, which sometimes people say, what? How did you not get your fertilizer done? You guys are bone dry. You could have been out there any day. We were. And we were doing some tiling, and we had to do a bunch of different projects around the farm, which is great. And we just had a couple of micronutrients we didn't get totally done. Sometimes on products or especially ground that needs multiple applications, you can't do it all at the same time. So that second trip across the field is not quite as fun as making the first trip, but sometimes it takes two or three trips to get everything done. So we'll be working on that here whenever it's not super windy. That's one of the challenges in the early spring. I love the warm-up, but a lot of times that comes with some breezy days. So we'll talk about that, and of course we'll take any of your calls and questions throughout the show at 844-44-AG-PHD. Let's dive into the Ag PhD mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
All right, first question comes in from Les. He said, I've got a section of cropland, and it is infested with stink grass, and I would like to put soybeans in there. What do you recommend for a herbicide program? I did spray it with Roundup last year three times. I had beans in there, still had issues, but what can I do? All right, well, first of all, stink grass, some people call it love grass. It's a warm season annual, and this is the challenge with that particular weed, is it starts mid-season. In our part of the world, it doesn't normally start until June, or sometimes, depending on how warm the weather's been, maybe even mid-June. So our prees have pretty much run out of gas by that point, and we're totally counting on crop canopy, which normally in soybeans, if we're in 30-inch rows, we don't have it. So you could narrow up the row spacing. That would get you to crop canopy a little bit faster. Also, look at where this grass is at in your field. A lot of times I try to see, okay, where does it have an advantage? Is it the low wet ground? With stink grass, a lot of times I see it in the drought-prone soils, in the lighter soils. We see it in some of the sandier hills, and that's just where we can't get that crop canopy established as early. So thicker seeding rates and narrower rows can really help. But then you look at the prees, they actually work pretty well. If you were applying trifluralin or prowl, the yellows, as we call them in soybeans, it's just that they're going to run out of gas by mid-June for the most part. But they actually do work pretty well. And, you know, dual or metolachlor is what we used to use for that way back in the day. But now I think all the group 15s work fairly similarly on stink grass. So if you could use those in your first past post-emerge program, so you had some residual in there, they could definitely help. Otherwise, as far as burning it back, Liberty and Roundup do a good job. Assure 2, Clethodim, those types of products work pretty well, but none of those four products have any residual. So when you're making those applications to burn it down with Liberty, Roundup, whatever, throw in one of those residual herbicides like a Group 15 to help you out to keep it down a little bit more. So kind of a combination there, less cultural practices. Plus, you're also going to need to change up that herbicide program and add a little residual control. Thanks for the question. We appreciate that. Got this one in from John. He said, can you guys explain how much nitrogen you get from your organic matter? My soils are right around 4% organic matter, and I hear you say 20 to 30 pounds for each percent of organic matter. Well, is that all available to the plant, and is that available from the day of emergence or later in the year? Hey, great questions, John. There's a lot of folks that don't talk about mineralization of organic matter and all the free nutrients that you get each year. So there is something to it. You definitely do want to build organic matter levels in your soil to get those nutrients, and just for so many other reasons, water holding, for microbes in your soil, all those things, organic matter is really good. So as far as the nitrogen goes, so you've got 4% organic matter. So if this was on our farm or where we're at in South Dakota, we would figure we're going to get, depending on the year, somewhere between 80 to 120 pounds of nitrogen for free out of that. But think about how mineralization happens. You need heat and microbial activity. It takes time. So a lot of that is going to come available later on in June and July and August. So if you said, I'm raising winter wheat and I'm going to harvest it in mid to late July, I'd say you're going to get some of that, but not all. If you said, well, I'm not going to need all that nitrogen until August with a crop like soybeans, you're going to take advantage of a lot of that nitrogen that gets produced. So that would be what I would look at. Yeah, it's going to be available late. It's going to be in a plant available form. So there's a lot of good things there, but if you need nitrogen early, make sure you're applying it. And if nitrogen comes available late, like mineralization that happens in September after you've black layered in your cornfield or something like that, so you're not pulling in any more N, that's where it can stick around for next year in our part of the world with heavier soils and soils that freeze for 4 or 5 or 6 months. But if you're in a light soil area and you get lots of rainfall, that's where a cover crop can do a nice job holding that N up for you. Thanks for the question. We really appreciate that. Got this one in from Russell. He said, I'm farming in a third world country and the price of lime is insanely high. Is there any other option? Well, take a look at your soil test. Look at a complete analysis of your soils. If calcium is what you need and your calcium level is really low, find any calcium source you can find and start there. But just start building up all the things that are out of balance. That's really what pH is an indication of. Something's out of balance in your soil, so build up what you can. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Shift like a race car. Steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out caseih.com.
Higher yield potential starts with the season-long systemic disease protection of Xyway brand fungicides from FMC. Xyway brand fungicides protect corn crops from key foliar diseases and support physiological benefits that help develop healthier, higher yielding corn for a difference you'll appreciate at harvest. Visit your FMC retailer for an at-plant advantage. Always read and follow all label directions.
What's the difference between John, who bought Enlist One herbicide, an Instinct Next Gen nitrogen stabilizer, and Tom, who bought Enlist One and Instinct Next Gen and used True Choice? Only about $5,000 extra in Tom's pocket? Choose True Choice and get up to 10% back. It's really as simple as that. Start saving at Corteva.com/save more.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio, and we're broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. Taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can email us radio@agphd.com. Talking a little about farmer rebate programs today and some of the finance offers that are out there. We're getting closer to spring, and a lot of times once we get to spring and We see some price movements sometimes from manufacturers. We see some of these rebate programs ending. We see finance programs that run out on certain days. There's just a lot of details here to manage. So it's a great time to once again meet with your crop protection provider, meet with your agronomist, talk through these things. Hey, if I haven't prepaid for everything, what else do I need to pay for? So you just don't have anything that messes up your plans in season. And it's also a great time to get all those products home so you know for sure you have everything you need. We've got Vince Restucci on right now with us right now with Valent to talk through some of the offers that are out there this year. Vince, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Darren, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
All right. When we look at, let's start with finance offers this year, Vince. For farmers that have gone to the bank, they've talked about their operating note. It's not a pretty sight right now. Those rates are up quite a bit than compared to what they used to be. Now, I know the old timers say, well, we paid 20% interest back in the 80s, but how well did that work for us? We had a lot of guys go out of business during that time. It's not quite that bad, but it's still significant. And when there's good finance offers from crop input providers, they're definitely worth taking this year.
Absolutely. You know, last year, you know, we have finance offers that we partnered with many channel partners, as well as, say, John Deere Finance, and there's offers out there from Rabobank, in addition to what people are doing in their operating lines. And so many crop protection companies will sponsor those types of finance offers. At Valent, we have actually sponsored a no payment, no interest until September, and then it reverts to standard terms. You know, recently at Commodity Classic, I heard a number of people speak about things to watch out this year. You know, net farm income is forecast to be down, commodity prices are down, and to your point, you know, a lot of prices have changed. So my advice to producers today is, hey, look at your prices compared to last year. Many products have deflated, but quite a few have also gone up. So be very cognizant of what, you know, your pricing is doing. And then when you look at those finance offers that are out there, if you see something that's 0% or no payment, no interest, or 1.9%, as I've seen some manufacturers have out there, it's a really good way to stretch your cash flow out. Now, we saw fertilizer prices come down last year, and a lot of people jumped on the, you know, the opportunity to lock in fertilizer prices, but it tied up cash. So now what we're seeing is a lot of people are leaning into those lines of credit for their crop inputs on crop protection specifically. And what we're really seeing is an uptick in purchase size, over what we've seen in the past. And so growers are really taking advantage of this. Last year was a significant increase, and this year we're seeing an even stronger increase on top of the demand, because it gives them that flexibility to manage their cash and really work through what their input needs are. So, I mean, it's been really positive, the feedback that we've gotten from growers as to, hey, this helps me out. I can really plan out my year and know what my cash flow is going to do and, you know, sell my cash crop to be able to pay this. Because the fact is that about 85% of those finance offers are paid off before they're due. And so it's really a way for growers to extend that cash flow throughout the year.
Yeah, that is a really big deal. And I know growing up, our dad would have Brian and me doing some jobs that we thought were kind of low-level jobs while he was working on the high-level jobs, which sometimes meant just sitting at his desk and working through the numbers. And he said, you know, it's great that you guys can make money with your backs, but sometimes you have to make money with the pencil, is what he would always say. And so he was always looking at these things that, you know what, it doesn't cost me. When it's a no payment, no interest plan, why would I not take things now, get them home, have that dealt with, and now I can just focus on farming again, and I don't have to worry about paying for this till next fall. That's fantastic. And, you know, you look at interest rates and just how many dollars farmers have to handle with the cost of fertilizer this year. I know there's some offers out there on seed, but boy, you don't get any better offer than on crop protection products like this, no payment, no interest. And you got such a wide array of products too, Vince, that for a lot of farmers that I talk to, they say, man, when I get a 0% deal like this, I start looking at, all right, I was going to buy Maverick, but now I'm also interested in maybe Intego Sweet is my seed treatment for beans or something like that.
Absolutely. You know, that's why we do things like this, is to give greater flexibility to our overall portfolio, whether it's in the corn portfolio or in the soybean portfolio or the seed treatment area. You know, we're seeing a lot of uptake in the specialty crop area. You know, I manage tree fruit as well, and there's a lot of excitement around, you know, flat commodity prices. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, bought fertilizer in the fall and they thought that the corn price was going to be better. So they're trying to decide, you know, what do I do? You know, prepay was down significantly, I'm hearing from a lot of retailers. And there's quite a few people out there that are still on the fence trying to decide what they're going to plant this year. And so if you can do it, you know, at a better cost, more efficient, and maybe remove some of the risk from the equation, it really makes a good decision a lot easier to make.
Well, I know for very small farmers, they say, I've got to buy a minimum. Well, I think, is your minimum like $5,000, Vince?
Yes, it is $5,000.
Yeah, it's not a huge hurdle, especially when you say, well, you could do your pre's here, you could do your posts here, you could do fungicides on here, seed treatments. I mean, there's just a lot of different products. When you start adding all those together, it really doesn't take very many acres or very many treatments to cross the hurdle of the minimum. And, of course, for larger row crop farmers especially, I look at this and say, man, that's not very many acres to get in, and you can also add on some of these other products too. There's no hidden cost here. That's what I like too, Vince, is as a farmer, I can sign up for a program like this and I don't have to worry, well, my dealer's going to charge me more for the product or anything like that. Like you said, this is an investment that you're making in growers that, hey, we hope because our offer is so good that you'll buy more of our products or maybe some other products you hadn't looked at before.
Absolutely. And what we're seeing is really the entire book of business is showing, you know, a big increase because exactly to your point, Darren, growers are looking, okay, well, I know I'm going to need some insecticides and I know I'm going to need, you know, seed treatment or a fungicide. So if I start to think at my business holistically and what I'm going to spend all year looking at my budget for last year, that hurdle is not a big hurdle rate at all. And it really just makes a lot of sense to be able to take advantage of other people's money during these tough times.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. What are the deadlines, Vince? Just since you're on here talking about details on the program, does a grower have a certain day this spring, or is it open all through the season if you make some decisions in season as well?
Our no payment, no interest program actually started December 1st and goes through July 31st. And that's the typical program year for input finance options. We do have a few extensions on some fungicides and some plant growth regulators in specialty markets in the Southeast and throughout the Midwest, say on sugar beets. And so those are really the key dates, is to make your decision and get it done early so you're guaranteed supply and you've got it in the barn, like you said. But you can really do it at any time up until July 31st.
Talking with Vince Restucci right now with Valent about finance offers and just looking at managing your cash in a little different way, paying a little bit more attention to some of these details as finance rates are awfully high and of course taking advantage of a no payment, no interest, very low hurdle to enter program that Valent's got right now. So check out that program with your crop retailer. Vince, thank you so much. Appreciate having you on.
Thanks for having me, Darren. Have a great day.
You bet. Yeah, there are a lot of different offers out there to take a look at. And in many cases, it's the products that you've been using forever. But in some cases, like this one we're talking with Vince here, that maybe you haven't used this particular fungicide that Valent's got. Or maybe you say, man, I haven't used Maverick yet, but I look at what's in that and I think that's got to be an excellent product for me in corn. I might switch over from a very similar product from another manufacturer to get into this 0% finance offer, and we're certainly seeing a lot of movement like that in the industry this year. Talking about finance programs, rebate programs coming up for you for this year. If you have questions, give us a call, 844-44-AG-PHD. Stay tuned.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's V-R-A-F-Y.com.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Every season, you're collecting yield data on virtually every acre of your farm. But what good is your data if you never use it? Put it to work with Verify. Verify takes yield data directly from your combine and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, ensuring your crops get what they need, right where they need it, no matter what equipment you run. Go to verify.com to find an expert to help you get started. That's V-R-A-F-Y.com.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications, all without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
Back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio, talking about farmer rebate programs, finance offers, those types of things. We just were talking with Vince Restucci with Valent about this, and said it's all about cash flow management. He's absolutely right about that. I was just looking at the products we're going to be using on our farm this year. Syngenta's got a finance offer. FMC's got a finance offer. Corteva's got a finance offer. Bayer's got a finance offer. There's a bunch of them out there. There's plenty of programs. And some of them are through Rabo. Some are through John Deere Finance. There's a variety of different sources of cash here. And I'm not suggesting you don't work with your local bank, because we didn't get any financing on our bulk fertilizer that we were buying or many of our different crop inputs. So you certainly be working with the local bank on those. But when you've got an opportunity on something like, say we were just talking with Valent, say you're going to buy $10,000 worth of Valent stuff. Why not take that at 0% financing and push that bill off until the fall if you can? It doesn't cost anything to do that. And that's kind of the nice thing. So you just have to ask those questions as you're purchasing product, exchanging money, lining up these finance offers. What are all the details? So you make sure you got that down. And then, you know, look at what these rebates are too. We've talked about rebates on the show previously, and unfortunately, they vary a little bit depending on where you're at in the country. So in different regions, these companies are trying to promote different products or different programs, and they've got different crops and all those kinds of things. So just talk to your dealers about that. What rebate programs are out there? Maybe you could buy something very similar to what you're getting, but hey, you could stack it on top of two or three other products from a company. I don't think any of them exemplify this more than Bayer with the Bayer Plus Rewards, where you can buy up to six products and you get on your third product, you get $3 an acre, fourth product, you get $4 an acre, up to the sixth product where you get $6 an acre off. Well, some of these products don't cost that much. If you're taking $6 an acre off that, that really adds up. So there's tons of money there. And of course, the other ag chem manufacturers have got to compete. BASF's got a bunch of programs. Corteva, of course, has got their True Choice program, and on and on. And then you look at equipment. With FMC, we talk about the Thrive 3D system, and they've got programs out there where you can get your Thrive 3D system paid for, no initial cost, and sign up for a multi-year deal. AMVAC, of course, they've got equipment offers for you. So, I mean, there are plenty of different programs out there. You just have to ask the questions of your suppliers of, hey, how could I save a little extra money instead of worrying about, well, what's the price of Roundup and can we do it a nickel an acre cheaper trying to save money that way? Talk about some of these programs. If you run the pencil on a 0% finance offer and getting to push that off for 6 months or 9 months, that's a lot of dollars for your farm. All right, I'm going to dive back into the Ag PhD mailbag, and I should just say our phone lines are open, 844-44-AG-PHD, if you have any questions, or you can always email us, radio@agphd.com. One of the cool things I like about email and doing things online is you get to talk to people from all over the world. And JP down in Brazil occasionally sends us in a few questions, and he sent in some soil samples today. Brent and I talk a lot about, wow, we look at different soil tests from different labs across the United States, but also around the world. So everybody's got things arranged just a little different, and maybe they've got some different measurements on there too. So JP's question, he said, hey guys, glad to know that you've been to Brazil in the past, and you're certainly welcome to visit here anytime. I've heard that we need to correct our soils all the way down to 24 inches for record corn yields. When we look at our dry land subsoil cation exchange capacity, it's pretty low. It's 3 to 5, so very sandy subsoil. And it doesn't have any nutrients. Our base saturations look like this, 30% calcium, 6% magnesium, and 2% potassium. Our pH is down in the 5s or less, and there's virtually no phosphorus. So the questions, should I be addressing subsoil fertility? We could potentially do some tillage down about 8 inches deep or strip till down to 15 inches to put nutrients down deeper in the soil. I was wondering how much lime, P and K, and so forth would I need, and would those nutrients, if we spread them on top, ever reach the soil? All right, or reach the subsoil. First of all, what is soil pH? It's very interesting. A lot of guys say, well, that tells me if I have to lime or not. Yes, lime can increase your pH, but really pH is just an indication that something is out of balance. And in this case, we've got so much hydrogen, which is going to be in an acid soil. So we've got anywhere from 40 to 70% hydrogen. And you say, well, I don't have anything down there for nutrients. If we put on some lime and took care of that hydrogen, tied that up, all of a sudden you'd say, oh, my base saturations came up on everything. So I'm not as much worried about, hey, we got to put a whole bunch of the other stuff out there as I am about this lime. Now, with lime, we're really concerned about the top 6 inches for sure. And that's what I'd be looking at first, JP, is you got to pay the bills. And what I'd think about with the deeper things is, how about we try one field or part of a field or part of a couple fields, and let's try working on some of this deeper stuff and see if it actually pays. Unfortunately, in the agricultural industry, just like in so many other industries out there, if you just go online for an hour, you'll hear all kinds of claims being made, and they could be completely opposite of each other. I don't understand why. When I was growing up, one thing my dad would say is, don't blow smoke. And I didn't really understand exactly what he meant at first. I'm like, what? I don't smoke? What are you talking about? He'd say, no, if you don't know something, just say, I really don't know that. Don't tell somebody something and make up an answer. And I think there's a lot of that in our industry where people say, well, you have to do this. This is why you're not getting what you want. Okay, try it out on a small scale before you put a ton of money into something that may or may not pay. When you've got that light a subsoil, and I'm going to guess the organic matter down there is virtually nothing as well, there's nothing there to hold the nutrients. So there's no point throwing a whole bunch of nutrients down 24 inches deep if they're just going to flush out of your soil. So I'm going to focus on that top 6 inches, maybe 12 inches, and do the best I can in that. You say you're dry land, and that does add a challenge to things. I don't know what your annual rainfall is, JP, but in some of the areas where I was at out in Mato Grosso, they would get 100 inches of rain in the year. Well, if you're getting 100 inches of rain, I guess I'm not super worried about irrigation, and I am worried about nutrients leaching out. So yeah, I would try this on a small scale and just see, okay, if I go a little deeper on some of these applications and try to build things up down deeper than just the top 6 inches, is it going to pay or not? My guess is 24 inches, no. But if you said, I'm going to do this in the top 12 inches and really focus on that, and I'm going to grow crops, and maybe I'm going to put a cover out there if I'm in between, or maybe where you're at in Brazil, you could just do continuous cropping. That's awesome. I would try that and see if you can hold on to those nutrients and not lose them. That would be a big concern for me, because I don't care where you farm, if it's Brazil or the United States or anywhere, you don't want to spend money on nutrients that you can't put into your crops. All right. Thanks for the questions. We appreciate that. I get this one from Jared. He's over in southeast Minnesota. He said, my question relates to seeding alfalfa or clover for a hay crop. Would it work to seed it in the fall with winter wheat? And then in the early spring, it would start growing underneath the wheat. I could harvest the wheat, and then the alfalfa would be ready to go, or clover. Just wondering, if I was going to do that, when would I have to get it seeded in the fall? What happens if I seeded it just before the ground freezes, dormant seed it? Will it be there growing in the spring? Well, those are good questions, Jared. We're going to do some fall seeding of alfalfa on our own farm this year. And I'll talk about that plan here in just a second. We got to take a quick break. We're talking about farmer rebate programs. We're talking about finance offers on today's show, but we're also diving into the Ag PhD mailbag. If you have a question you want to send in, it's radio@agphd.com. We'll be right back.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad-spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on armyworms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
For the smallest investment with the biggest impact on yield, upgrade your planter with Germinator closing wheels from Farm Shop MFG. To see how we stack up against the competition at a fraction of the cost, call us at 712-520-6051.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior strip tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at soilwarrior.com.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential, maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more, precisely. Find an agroliquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
On your farm, you spend thousands on fertilizer every season. But how do you know if any nutrient you apply is paying for itself? Build a fertility plan like never before with Verify. With Verify's soil point to yield analysis, you can automatically see the connection between your soil test and yield data to see which fertilizer dollars will make you money and which won't. Go to verify.com to get started today. That's VRAFY.com.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years. From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag time, taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD or by email radio@agphd.com. Got a question in from Jared over in southeast Minnesota wondering about seeding either alfalfa or clover in the fall, potentially with winter wheat, and wondering how that'll work out in the spring. Okay, so here's our plan, Jared. We're gonna do some alfalfa seeding in the fall, but we're going to direct seed it. We're not going to put it with anything else. We're going to try and get it out there in August if we can, so we can get a little bit of growth on it before winter. That's our game plan. Haven't tried it dormant seeding or putting it out there so late that it doesn't get started, but we have seeded lawns that way with grass seed, and then you get the snow cover on it. And in the spring, I've seen it come up just great, and I've also seen it fail. So we'll see. I don't know if we would have had it this year. I don't think we had enough moisture to really get stuff to grow. But I guess for me, I would try and do it in August if you can. Our dad always said growing up, and I found this to be pretty accurate, he said the two best times to seed a clover or alfalfa are in the months that start with A. So he said, if we can't get it done in April, we'll do it in August and try and do a late season application like that. So typically, if we're going to do that, we would plant, a wheat crop harvested in July and then turn around and seed into that for our alfalfa. So that's what I would do. I'm not a big fan, and I know Brian really isn't a big fan of two crops at the same time, just because a lot of times we don't get enough moisture to make that work. So I don't know, in southeast Minnesota, you guys normally get more moisture than us, but it's not guaranteed. So we typically like to do one at a time and go for it that way. But good luck. If you try it the other way, let us know how it turns out. Be curious to find out. All right, get this one from Flyboy, who said, hey, I had a soil test done on my Bermuda pasture, and it said I needed nitrogen. No surprise there. But it also said that I need phosphorus. How do I get phosphorus down in the ground? It doesn't move well in the soil. So my fertilizer applicator just broadcast fertilizer on top. So I don't want to plow my pasture to get it down in the ground. Is there another way? You know, that is a challenge, and that is one of the biggest challenges in no-till, as far as we're concerned, is getting the immobile nutrient, like phosphorus, for example, down deep in the soil. I'd say the same thing about zinc. I'd say the same thing about copper. We just don't get those to move much in the soil, which is a good thing if you can get them placed in the right spot. So for me, I would do it before you seed the pasture. And I don't know how long you're going to leave that Bermuda out there, if it's going to be a permanent situation, or if I'm just going to have Bermuda in there for a year or two, and then I'm going to tear it up and do something else. Whenever you tear it up, I would put on the phosphorus you need. So I'll give you an example. We seeded alfalfa on our farm a couple years ago. We put on all the phosphorus we were going to need for the next 4 years, just planning on, I'm going to have this crop out there for 4 years, and we can't get those nutrients down deep, so we're just going to put it out all at once. That's what we did. And a lot of people don't want to have that big of an expense all at once, which I certainly understand, but that was our way around it. I've talked to other guys that say, well, I'm going to go in and knife some in. If my pasture's thick or my alfalfa stand is thick, I can just knife stuff in and it'll fill right back in those spots. Just use a coulter or use a very narrow shank, something like that, that doesn't have a C shape to it, just a straight point on it, so I'm not going to tear everything up. You could certainly do it that way. So you only got a couple of options to try and get it down deep. Otherwise, you just have to wait and address it later. Thanks for the question there. Get this one in from Jeremy, who's down in Iowa. He said, guys, I want to talk to you about the chloride excluder soybeans. I can't seem to find any clear answer on this anywhere, and I was wondering if you guys would know. Is there a chloride range or a threshold parts per million or anything else that could help direct a person to request a chloride excluder soybean? Is this something I could look at on a soil test, or do you have to test irrigation water or something else altogether? Hey, Jeremy, great questions. Here's one of the challenges. So it's kind of like iron deficiency chlorosis. If you say 10% of this field has the propensity to turn yellow and show iron deficiency chlorosis symptoms, the rest of the field is pretty good, doesn't really show much of any effect. At what point do you say it's worth playing defense and putting an iron deficiency chlorosis tolerant variety that might yield a little less on the good acre, but it's going to do better on the poor acre? You know, for a lot of guys, they might say, well, I got to see 30 or 40% of the field like that before I can justify it. Otherwise, the yield that I'm going to gain on the more racehorse type bean and the rest of the farm is going to more than pay. So I'd say kind of the same thing here. Where are you going to have these chloride problems? A lot of times it's right around, like if you've got iron deficiency chlorosis areas, there's kind of a saltier ring with more carbonates, bicarbonates, all those kinds of things just on the outside edge of those spots. And that's where these beans really shine. I have never seen any numbers either. So I know you're looking for it, and I haven't found it either where anyone has a guide for that. So to me, it's ideally a multiple variety placement in one field kind of thing, where you find a chloride excluder that also has great iron deficiency chlorosis tolerance, and then you just patch them into those spots and plant your more racehorse bean the rest of the way. But yeah, I've never seen any numbers. I know like on nematode resistant beans, they'll have, oh, if you're over 1,000 or if you're over 1,500 on your nematode numbers, then it's worth doing. I haven't seen that on a chloride excluder bean, but I'll say this, they really have done a nice job. We've got a lot of farmers that we work with that have been planting excluder beans, especially on irrigation where they've got poor irrigation water, or if they've got some drainage issues out in fields, that's a good thing. And when I mention drainage, you know what I'm going to say next, Jeremy. Improve the drainage the best you can, get those things to flush out of your soil, and you can be more aggressive on your soybean variety selection. Thanks for the question. Really appreciate that. Get this one in from Alex, and he said, hey guys, farming over here in Kansas, could you guys look at a couple soil samples for me? It's river bottom ground that I just picked up. It's dry land. I suspect I have a drainage issue and tile will eventually get installed here. Just want to know for this upcoming season what I should do, specifically how much elemental sulfur should I put on? Well, thanks, Alex. So you got a few soil tests here. Just the first two are the ones that you're looking at. And the organic matter is low. The soil pH is really high. And it's about a 15 CEC, so kind of medium textured soil. So yeah, you definitely could put some tile in there. That would be awesome. The best thing with about a 15 CEC, you don't have to have those tile spacings at 25 feet or something like that. 40 or 50 feet apart might be enough for you when you're going, say, 3 feet deep, 3.5 feet deep with your tile line. So I would definitely do that. I'd invest the money in that for sure. But I'm looking at your calcium test, and your base saturation on calcium is 88 to 90%. And we've got calcium numbers that high. I start to think about excess lime. And sure enough, on sample two, if you look down on the bottom column, this is a Midwest Lab soil test we're looking at, there's an excess lime rate column and it says medium. And for sure, if you're in the medium to high in excess lime, that's going to throw off your test. It's going to read artificially high on that calcium percentage. So it might not be quite as bad as you think. To me, if I had that sample, I would send it in to Kinsey Ag and run a cation displacement test. And it will take out all that excess lime that's in your sample and show you more of a realistic number of what's actually on your soil colloids and give you a better picture of what you need to do. But you know, looking at these samples, everything's pretty low. And when you say you've got a drainage problem, our boron's still low, our sulfur's low, our nitrate's low. In fact, they're almost all non-existent. So it doesn't look like the drainage is that bad. As far as elemental sulfur, if that soil drains well, elemental sulfur can make a difference on that pH. We typically start off with 15 pounds per one-tenth of a point over 7 or something. So maybe you do 150 pounds, give it a year or two, and see what a difference it makes. Thanks for the question, Alex, and good luck to you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Want a product that will give you nitrogen all season long? Then you want to try Envita. Envita gets directly into the cells of the plants, and it's easy to apply, foliar or in furrow. Envita provides the flexibility you need for your farm practices. Whether you want to reduce your nitrogen and maintain yield, or maintain your nitrogen and increase yield, Envita fits your farm. Envita SC formulation is OMRI registered. To learn more about Envita, visit azotic.com. That's AZOTIC.com.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/face.
Your farm data platform might let you manage your fertilizer plan by helping you set sample points, determine management zones, or create fertilizer recommendations. With Verify, you can do all that. But what Verify does that no one else can is take yield data straight from your combine, correlate this info to soil test points, and immediately generate variable rate fertilizer maps based on your nutritional goals. Whether you want to build soil levels, balance your field for uniform nutrition, or maintain fertility levels by simply applying what you removed at harvest. And with full integration with John Deere Operations Center, Verify can send recommendations directly to application equipment, no matter the color. Sign up for your Verify account today at verify.com and keep your farm moving. That's VRAFY.com.
The hard-working, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, talk openly, and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health. Through awareness, guidance, and action, together we can uproot the stigma.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate the support and want to answer any questions you may have. So our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can always email us radio@agphd.com. Got a couple manure questions here to start off with. So the first one comes from Brian. Do you think spreading slurry on top and then chiseling it in is as good as injecting the manure right off the bat? Hey, thanks, Brian. Good question. Depends on how long you're going to leave it on top of the ground, and depends on when you do it. So if you spread manure on top and you're smelling manure, you're smelling ammonia, you're smelling sulfur and those kinds of things, and that's not good. We'd love to get it down in the ground and not smell it at all and not be losing any of it. So yeah, the sooner you can be out there chiseling it in, the better. And the cooler and cloudier it is, the better as well. So I would say, just to generally answer your question, no, I'd much rather inject it right off the bat. But even the guys that are injecting it, they don't do a perfect job. They have to turn around, and a lot of times you see Every spot they turned around, there's a little bit on top of the ground. So it's better than not. But yes, if you're going to work it in quickly and you're going to do it in March and it's going to be cool and cloudy and not windy, then I'd say you're going to be pretty darn close to as good as injecting. Okay, get this from Richard over in Iowa. He said, I have sow manure applied every year in the fall. Due to lower nutrient concentrations than finishing manure, a lot of gallons are applied and I have to wait 1 to 2 weeks before it's dry enough to get in and work it in. It's only lightly covered by the umbilical application equipment. Am I saving any remaining nitrogen from denitrification by disking it in 1 to 2 weeks later? How about spring runoff of other nutrients and organic matter, if not incorporated? Okay, lots of stuff there, and we get a lot of non-farmers listening, so you have to indulge me for just a minute, Richard. So he's saying he has sow manure, so mother pigs, and he said less nutrient concentration than finishing manure, so young pigs that you're feeding to go to market, they're getting a richer diet, trying to put on weight, where the sows are just trying to maintain weight. So you can get that. And then he said putting it on with umbilical application equipment. So they're pumping directly out of the manure pits, right through a hose, right out to the field to application equipment that's going to hopefully inject it down in the soil. He said it's not really getting super deep because they're probably going kind of fast. So he's wondering if he can come back and do more tillage later in case anything is on top of the ground that he can get it turned around and put into the soil. So are you going to lose some nitrogen by that manure being on top of the ground for a week or two? Yeah, you're going to lose some nitrogen. It's not the complete end of the world or anything like that. So yeah, you probably help yourself if you need to do the tillage, and you can do the tillage without creating compaction. You're probably helping yourself, and creating a more even environment to plant into. That's a big deal. How about spring runoff of other nutrients and organic matter, if not incorporated? You know, that is another concern. And if you put manure on top of the ground and you don't get it worked in, it's on the surface, and anything that washes off a hard rain, if there's still frost in the soil or snow melt or any of those things, yeah, you can have some runoff. So that's why we do like manure incorporated whenever you're going to put it out. We do see some guys that'll put manure out, in our opinion, a little too early when they can't till it in or they can't inject it because there's still frost in the ground. I would avoid that if at all possible. But yeah, sounds like you're doing the right thing here, trying to make sure it's incorporated into the ground as best you can, and get your field also set so your seed bed is all good, so you can just get out there and plant as early as you want to this spring. Sounds good, Richard. Good luck. All right, get this one from Justin down in North Carolina. So we got a farm we've been struggling to raise the pH on. We put on calcitic lime, so high calcium, low magnesium, for a few years now. We really haven't had much for results. And you guys were talking about that at your soils clinic, that putting on too much nitrogen can strip out calcium. And since our organic matter is pretty high, it's very high, in fact, 16%, we've been applying quite a bit of nitrogen out there, just wondering maybe that's what's going on. Well, one of the challenges, I don't know if that organic matter's right unless you've got a peat soil, Justin. If you've got a peat soil, the rules end up being a little different for that. I'm just looking at your base saturations. Your magnesium is so low. To me, I'd be putting on a dolomitic lime and trying to bring up magnesium and calcium. Magnesium actually raises pH 1.6 times to 1 compared to calcium. So by having a dolomitic lime where you have a little higher mix of magnesium in there, still has a lot of calcium, but it also has a decent amount of magnesium in it. That might be the way to go to try to get things to move a little bit quicker for you. And yeah, I would say you're probably putting on too much nitrogen out there depending on what you're raising for a crop. So I would do a little experimenting with that this year. You can always come back and side dress or add some more nitrogen a little bit later, but go with a lower rate to start with and then see where you're at. Go out, do some soil tests, do some tissue tests, those kinds of things, and just watch the field really close and see. So I just take, yeah, it looks like this is one field. I would take a good chunk of that field, cut back on your N, use dolomitic lime instead of calcitic lime, and see if you can start moving the needle in that field. Hey, thanks for the question, Justin, and let us know how it goes. If you have questions along the way, please send those in. Get this from Clayton in Illinois. He said, farming some river bottom ground here in Illinois, usually very wet, 60 straight years of soybeans. Wow. Okay, that's pretty cool. And that's a lot of history of having that same ground in your family too. So that's pretty cool. Congratulations on that, Clayton. He said, I just put in 7 miles of tile on this 20-acre field. Wow, that's tiled really well. So hopefully it's not going to be super wet. And he said, I am going to try to plant corn this year. So what do you think about my soil test here with corn in mind? All right, so our soil pHs look to be ideal, mostly in the 6s, maybe 7. And that's a good thing. Our base saturation percentages, we're a little bit high on magnesium, but we're really short in potassium. So to me, that's the one that I would say, I think I'd get after it on potassium. Corn takes a lot of potassium out of the ground. It takes a lot of potassium to grow the crop. Now, much of that potassium ends up in the stalk and the root system. So my thought right now looking at this, Clayton, is you're going to have some corn that falls over and doesn't have a great stalk on it if you don't really push the nitrogen. Or I'm sorry, push the potassium, sorry. So make sure you push potassium out there on this crop. Then when it comes to phosphorus, your phosphorus numbers are in pounds per acre. So you've got some out there, but you're going to need a little bit more if you're going to push for high yield. And I'm guessing in Illinois, river bottom ground, water not a limiting factor, you're probably going to need it. So push the P and K this year and see what you can do. You know, your micronutrients are really not too bad. I'm actually pretty happy with where you're at on those micros. So you need some sulfur. I would definitely get at least 30 pounds of sulfur out there or more. If it was me, I would just use ammonium sulfate as part of my nitrogen application. I'd put out 250 pounds of ammonium sulfate on this ground and then add whatever else you want for nitrogen in there to try and grow the crop you're trying to grow. Your organic matter level, for as heavy as this ground looks, is actually pretty low. So I would be working long-term on trying to build that organic matter up. Now, that's probably a product of having soybeans out there for 60 years. It's just not that big a plant. So for me, I'd push the P, K, and sulfur, and I think that's going to work out pretty well for you. Send another sample in, and I'm just looking to see. Oh, that's the same one, just two copies of the same thing. Yep, that's what I would do, P, K, and sulfur. And yeah, it's going to be fun to see how that tile changes the ground. And hopefully over the next 60 years, you aren't going to describe that as a wet piece of ground. You're going to say, man, that's some of my best ground I got. Get this in from Grant. He said, doing some strip till here. Just wondering, how do you approach soil sampling in a strip-till situation? Well, it all depends on one question, Grant. In those strips, are you building fertility or are you just feeding the crop? If you're putting on crop removal amounts of nutrients and cutting back on the nutrients that you're applying, which a lot of folks are doing in strip-till, that works just fine. But you aren't really leaving anything extra in those strips. Then you can just pull randomly samples wherever. But if you say, no, I'm really loading up those strips, then I would be careful to take some samples in the strip and some not in the strip. I'm assuming you're moving those strips around year to year. So I would average in some in the strip and some out of the strip. Thanks for the question, Grant. We appreciate that. And thanks to you for listening today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.